the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Let's begin this morning, first of all, with a word of prayer, orienting ourselves to why we're here, that what will be done will be glorifying to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to live in the time in which we do, Heavenly Father, to see so many things going on throughout the world, in the Middle East, in Europe, to see things, Heavenly Father, that seem to be heading in a direction that you have already told us about concerning the end time. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to walk in the Spirit, to be transformed into the image of Christ, and to understand what life is really about and what really is important. Father, we are most grateful this morning for the demonstration of your love. We know you love. But the demonstration of it, Heavenly Father, is one that cannot be missed to those who will see what's going on. We praise you, Heavenly Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, and that is Sunday morning. Now, please bear in mind Jewish time. Jewish time is from 6 o'clock. The evening before starts the new day, and so the day, actually the Sabbath ends at 6. The Sabbath will begin on Friday night at 6 o'clock, each evening at 6, and go to the next evening. And so in dealing with Jewish time and seeing and understanding Jewish time, it will be after 6 o'clock on Saturday. Staying with Roman time, it will be, of course, midnight, but and just generally speaking, the first day of the week is Sunday morning. But the first day of the week at early dawn. So we're talking very early in the morning, anywhere from 4:30 to on a little bit. Early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, the spices to put on the dead body. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. So there was a stone put in front of the tomb, and now it is rolled away. And that's quite a job because it was a big stone. But when they walked in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened that while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling apparel. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words and returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest that were with them that were gathered together. Now they were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James. Also, the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles, and these words appeared to them as nonsense. These are those beloved disciples that everybody praises so much, and that the resurrection was nonsense, even though they had been told and told about it. And that's what we're looking at on Wednesday night, in being told things and understanding things, and as opposed to allowing the Spirit to open our eyes. They appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them. Why should they? They didn't believe Jesus Christ, that he would rise again. They wouldn't believe her. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home, marveling at that which had happened. God had his blessing to the reading of his word. Okay, we have several things that I want to do this morning. This Easter morning, 2002, we're getting close to actually being 2,000 years of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, closing in on that, and you take it in the time frame of the years of the church age. So let's prepare ourselves for our study this morning, a word of prayer, that God the Holy Spirit will open our eyes as to what's going on in the passage that we will look at. You can understand it academically, but that doesn't mean it'll have any impact whatsoever. Some interesting things that I have learned in our study of stress, anxiety, and depression on Wednesday night, that come to realization that just getting up and teaching things academically, people sit there and hear it. There are a multitude of people who are not able, because some other things are taken care of, be able to have what they're seeing in Scripture be experientially real in their lives as to what the Bible is saying about them. And one of the most important aspects of this is trusting the Spirit to open our eyes that we might see, to opening our eyes that we might understand ourselves what's going on in Scripture, what's going on in the passage that we're about to look at. So let's spend a moment in prayer. Let's pray. On this morning of the celebration of the resurrection, Heavenly Father of Jesus Christ, we pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see individually as to the importance and the significance and the results of that resurrection in our daily lives, each day of our life, Heavenly Father. So often we're not able to relate. We do not relate what we're celebrating this morning to our daily lives. We pray that your Spirit will open our eyes to these things. That you, Heavenly Father, will keep us from the powers of darkness that would seek to blind us, intrude on our seeing, that we might see and these things become a reality experientially in our life. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. Can you get one of the seats that are on that table right there, please, hon? There you go. Good. Okay. Resurrection, crucifixion, resurrection. When most people think of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it is in two realms. And I dare say that most sermons throughout the world today, not just in America, throughout the world today, will deal with two very important realms of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It will be related, first of all, it will be related, one, to their eternal salvation, which we have come to realize is salvation one. Eternal life, and how the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by faith in him, because of the death, burial, and resurrection, because of that faith, that God, and because of the work of Christ on the cross, God takes that faith and uses that to our eternal life, our redemption, our salvation. It is not our faith that saves, it is the work of Christ on the cross and resurrection that saves. Faith never saves. It is the work of Christ. That's why the object of faith is always important. But there's another very important thing that a lot of people deal with, they understand, they study and talk about the resurrection, and that is in our lives when someone dies. I'm just going to use the word up here so that we can communicate. At death, when someone that we love dies, or we are approaching death ourselves, there's a great deal of emphasis on the resurrection of the dead, and therefore giving great comfort, and it should. That's why it was given. And so when the resurrection of the dead will be reunited with those that we love, and we reunited with them forever and ever. And both of these are true. Both of these emphasis on Easter, the resurrection of Christ on our eternal salvation, the necessity of the birth and the death and the birth, the burial of Jesus Christ, his resurrection related to salvation, and giving us hope in a personal realm of death and an eternity future, and dealing with how we'll all be resurrected and study that resurrected morning for us all, the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection of the church, and resurrection of all believers who have died throughout history, becomes very important. But what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and its relationship to your personal life. We're going to look at it in relationship any time in your life, today, yesterday, tomorrow, any time that in your life you experience stress, anxiety, or depression, therefore sadness as far as your life is concerned. I want to spend this morning putting together some of the things in Scripture that deal with our daily lives, the effect of the demonstration of His love on your daily life. And why, when we experience stress, why we experience anxiety and depression, why we do not need to, and how the resurrection of Christ is so important to that. If you believe that you are saved eternally, liberated forever, by simply believing in the person and work of Jesus Christ because of his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension to heaven, I want you to think about this. If you believe that, I am saved forever because I believe in Jesus Christ, and because of his death and resurrection and who he is, I am saved forever. You believe that you are set free forever, for all eternity, reconciled with God. And why? Because Jesus Christ died and rose again, and all I did was trust him. And indeed, that is true. We are. God the Holy Spirit, if you're here this morning and are saved by faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit has opened your eyes to this aspect of the demonstration of the love of God. He has opened your eyes to the significance where it becomes an impact in your life in regard to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and eternity. He has opened your eyes to the gospel when you were unsaved. But since you are a believer, here's something else that is a challenge for us to believe each day in our lives and function under. Here's something else that we want to allow the Holy Spirit to start opening our eyes on. His death, his resurrection are directly related, people, to every time you have stress in your life. Every time you start going into depression. Now, we've already looked at this in our myth of money, but I want to remind you. Stress comes on most people's lives today, and anxiety, and we decide, I'm stressed, depression. So where am I going to go? Well, I am going to go to the doctor, because certainly this must be physical. So therefore, I will go to a physical cure for it. The stress that I'm going under is because of physical things, and the doctor can give me something to take care of the physical. It's where you, how you identify the stress, the depression, these things that come into your life as to where we're going to go to find a relief, to be set free of it. And that's what I want to cover this morning. In Scripture, there is a great deal made, people, not only of the resurrection of Christ, but of his death, of his dying. It is vital to live our lives, in our lives, to allow the Spirit to open our eyes to the significance of his death as well as his resurrection. And what I hope that will happen, we'll start seeing this occur in our daily lives. It is amazing to me how many Christians love to talk about the cross, about his death and his resurrection, not just at Easter. And they'll often use the blood of Jesus and roll their eyes. His blood. and roll their eyes and talk about his death and all these things, and yet live by the law. If you don't get both, you don't get both. His death and resurrection will get you eternal life. But so many Christians live by the law. After, okay, now his death, burial, and resurrection is taking care of eternal life, so that's taken care of. Now to live my life, I'm going to live by the law. I'm going to live by performance. I'm going to live by Satan's lie. And what is Satan's lie? My self-worth is my performance plus others' opinion of me. And we're dealing with that in its whole development in our study on Wednesday night. But this is the way a lot of people live. Boy, I'm saved by the cross and thank God for it and the resurrection. But now I've got to live by performance. I've got to live by the law. The very opposite of the cross, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They like to talk about the cross. They like to talk about the blood of Jesus. Talk about the resurrection. And judge other believers. Malign one another. Gossip. Slander. Or separate from one another. Oh! Before the cross of Jesus is so wonderful, and the blood of Jesus, let's claim the blood of Jesus. And let me malign another believer. Let me gossip. Let me judge and separate. But I'm even going to go stronger than that. There are a lot of Christians, especially in America, that talk about the cross and yet experience stress, anxiety, and depression daily. In fact, with a lot of Christians, it's become the norm. Well, stress is just the normal thing of life. Quote a phrase I read, and I just started laughed out loud when I saw it. It's normal to be neurotic. It's just that's living in this way is normal. This is the way it is. But let's talk about the cross and the blood of Jesus. No, people. I want to show you this morning in our study what the scriptures have to say. This is another way of understanding and grasping why we live by faith. We're saved by faith as an unbeliever, liberated, eternally set free. Well, I'm going to show you how it related to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's how we live. We're set free eternally. We're set free experientially. By experientially, I mean every day of your life. So this Easter Sunday morning, got one little hour with you, which we're going to look at the significance of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in your daily life. Not your salvation, and not at death, and not at the great day of the resurrection, and not eternity. Talking about today. I'm talking about you pay bills, and deadlines have to be met. Loneliness. Talking about the alienation that many people experience. We're going to be studying some very strong things in dealing with alienation and stress, anxiety, and depression, and suicide. And the things that happen in people's lives. And we're going to look at all of these things in respect to and around what we're going to look at this morning in one shot. Lay a foundation for it. Now, I'm going to emphasize this morning salvation or the resurrection when we die or the resurrection of the church. I'm going to talk about the way we deal with one another, the way we live each day, forgiving one another, restoring one another instead of attacking, biting, devouring, gossiping, slandering, separating, and competing with one another, which characterizes the church. I like to hear Christians talk. Oh, look at all the Jews and the Arabs. Boy, they can't get along, and they're always doing this. And look at the Protestants and the Catholics in Ireland. They're killing each other and all of this. Hey, look at the Church of Christ. Look at the body of Christ. How we judge one another and slander and malign and separate. We're no different. We murder. Oh, we do it in sophistication. We do it with our tongue. John points out, we kill, we murder with our tongue. We assassinate one another with our tongue. We love to judge and malign and slander one another with our tongue. So I want to look this morning at the death and its significance and the resurrection and burial. But this isn't my study. I just want to show you, give you a feel. This isn't just one passage. Look with me at 1 John 3. Not John 3, but 1 John 3. Toward the end of the Bible there, Revelation, go back to in 1st and 2nd, 3rd John. Now we'll do this quickly, but I want to show you some things. The Bible has a lot to say and an emphasis on the death, the demonstration of His love. And I want you to bear that always in your mind of what all of this is about. It's a demonstration of His love. Those that need that demonstration, here it is. There's a demonstration in what it's talking about. All right, 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. We know love by this. How do we know love? He laid down, that's death, His life for us. Now here the emphasis is on His death. And notice that we learn from His death love. What do we learn from His death? We learn love. But not just any love. Not love that comes from man, but God's love. And a love that comes to us as a fruit of the Holy Spirit when we're walking in the Spirit by faith. Therefore, we call it spiritual love. So from His death, look at this. Think about this. From His death, we learn about love. I'm so sorry that there are so few Christians in America happily married. I guess I'm even more sorry that very few Christians will live their life and ever experience what love really is about. Not Hollywood love. Not Eros. Not love that comes from man. The love that comes from God. Very few Christians will experience it their whole life, and I'm very sorry for that. But from His death, we learn about love. And what true love is about, God's love. People, the cross, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ cannot just be knowledge. And it can't just be something that we get emotional about. But what I hope to bring you to in this study and continually on Wednesday night study on stress, anxiety, and depression, that it is something that can lead to an effect in your experience of life, every day of your life. The effect of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ every day of your life when you and I experience stress in our life. A reality that makes a difference. That's what this has to become and will become, and I'll show you how, will become a reality in your daily life, in your relationships with others. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. And now, a reality of this in our lives, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, for other believers who need restoration, help, encouragement. Most believers prefer to judge and kill the other believer, lay their life down. But if we understand the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's just the opposite. We will lay down our life. People are going to hurt you, upset you, disappoint you, leave you in disillusionment, anger, hate, all kinds of things. It's going to happen in life, and this brings about a great deal of stress, anxiety, and depression. For the study on Wednesday night of why Christians experience stress, anxiety, and depression, then reading some of the things of people who deal with their life, dealing with suicide, and the common things that are part of nearly everyone who commits suicide. Either the person, they either tried to commit suicide and restored, or they left letters, notes. And nearly every one of them people involved, guess what? Someone else. In some way or another. Somebody else, someone else, some others, in some way or another. What I want to deal with is in our study, the stress and the depression, the anxiety that can come from all of this, and what the resurrection of Christ sets us free from all of this. Look quickly, if you will, at Ephesians So keep going back toward the front of the Bible to Ephesians. Paul's writing Ephesians chapter 4. Just showing you some of the things dealing with just his death. I am so stressed out right now. Look what time it is. Well, don't look, you'll get stressed out. And I haven't even gotten to my main passage. But we're not going to eat. And then, usually when we have the communion, we eat together. So I'm going to take just a little bit more time. Okay. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, look at verse 32 with me. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving. So this means when they don't deserve it. People, it's easy to be kind to somebody who's kind to you. Wow, good deal. This is talking about when they hurt you, disappoint you, do things to you or to someone you love. Look what it says. And be kind to one another, other believers, tender-hearted, forgiving each other. Note, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And what is the basis of his forgiving us? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is the basis of forgiveness. And the Christians, after judging and maligning other people, other believers, and well, not in any way understand this concept of the death, burial, and resurrection. They just simply cannot grasp what's going on. Look at chapter 5, verse 1. Just continue reading. Therefore, be imitators of God. Well, I could spend some time there. Imitate God. He's perfect. Okay, be imitators of God as beloved children. Now look what it says. Walk in love just as Christ loved you. And what is the demonstration of his love? Gave himself up. Death. Gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma, that which is pleasing to the nostrils, as it were, of God. So the message, the impact of his death, look what we've had from the impact of his death in just these verses. One, love, spiritual love. Two, forgiveness. Three, living as Christ lived. But there's another experiential impact, and that's the one I would like to center on this Easter. Please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Please open the scriptures to Romans chapter 6 for our Easter special. We're going to do a miracle this morning. We're going to cover a whole passage of scripture in a very short, brief time. So, what I'd like to do, first of all, is let's read our Easter special, and then we'll come back and look at it. Starting in Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us have been baptized, who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That's not eternity. That's today. Experientially. For if we have become united with him in his likeness of his death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Right now in your life. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him. We're going to emphasize that this morning. That our body of sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to that nature that produces personal sins. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having raised from the dead, been raised from the dead, resurrection of Christ, Easter morning, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin. Now, I have to deal with that. That deals with a nature, flesh nature that produces sin. Once and for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Now just take a look with me at just not even going into the verses of what we just read. Verse 4 starts with particle, therefore. Verse 5, for if. Verse 7, for. Verse 8, now. And verse 11, even so. I want you to understand the passage. Now, I know this is not a glowing sermon, rhetoric, a great oratory on Easter morning. My purpose is that you and I can grasp something, that we walk out of here not just being emotionally upset, but grasping the reality and allowing the Spirit to open our eyes. So if you take that sheet that I gave you, please. Take the sheet that I gave you. All I want to do here, before we just read back through the passage this morning and note some highlights, I would like you to see and understand this passage with all of its particles. When I was in Dallas Seminary, a group of us went to one of the seminary professors in the Greek department and asked if we could have an entire course, credited course, three-hour course on Greek particles. Nothing but just Greek particles, because they're crucial. And they talked about it and all. Whatever the reasons were, it did not happen. But Greek particles are the whole flow of understanding something. They're putting the whole thing together. So what I've got for you, what I'd like you to do, and I did all this and forgot to make me an overhead where I could show you, but let's see if we can just do this. If you look at the very top phrase, we are identified with Christ in his death, follow the line that comes all the way down to where it says now. So this, what I'm going to show you is how this is put together. We are identified with Christ in his death. Drop down now, follow the line. Now, to advance the thought, since we died with Christ, we live with Christ. That really is the two basic things that this passage is presenting. Now let's go back to the first phrase. We are identified with Christ. Next line, therefore, we have been buried with him. If we identified with his death, been buried. You bury people that are dead. And identified with Christ in his death, therefore, there's that particle, therefore, we've been buried with him. Now drop all the way down, skip the two in order. Now drop down. So, explanatory, since we died with him, we are resurrected with him. Resurrected with him. Now we're going to have a knowing in there. Now let's just put this whole first part together so that you see what's being said. We are identified with Christ in his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him. In order that, we've been buried with him in order that, as Christ was raised from the dead, drop down, so in like manner, we also walk in the newness of life. For, explaining what preceded, that's what the word explanatory, that's explanatory particle gar in the Greek, so it just means for or explanatory, explaining to that. For, since we died with him, we are resurrected with him. Knowing that, now what do I know? Our old self was crucified with him. Drop down. In order that, result of being crucified with him, our body of sin will be done away with, destroyed. Why is that? In order that, henceforth, let's call this purpose, henceforth, we are no longer slaves to sin. For, explaining that, he who has died is free of sin. Why are we no longer slaves to sin? Because if we died, we're free of sin. Now, to advance the thought of all that is preceded, since we died with Christ, we live with Christ, knowing that Christ having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death is no longer Lord or Master over him. For, explaining this, the death he died to sin, once and for all. But that the life that he lived to God. People, that's crucial. Now the closing thing. Also, consider yourself to be dead to sin, but alive in Jesus Christ. Now I want you to notice in this the key that I've given for you, laying it out for you, this is not about your eternal salvation. That's not the emphasis at all in this passage. This is not what about this is not about the day in this section. It is not about the day of resurrection. This is not about the resurrection of those that we've loved who died or our own on that great day coming up. That's not what this is about. But yet it is about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Easter story. This section takes the Easter story and relates it to your daily life. This is about why Christians experience stress and depression in their life and why they do not need to. This expresses why we are actually set free of stress and depression in our daily lives. Very few Christians ever experience what this is about. There are a lot of Christians who, boy, in the midst of great stress, and they do have the wherewithal, even Job did, and we'll see that later in another study, but even Job looked forward to that day. Well, my life is all hell here on earth, and it's miserable, and things are terrible, but boy, when I die, I'll go to heaven. I'll be with God. And death becomes a welcome guest. Therefore, many Christians will take their own life. They relate what happened in the death, burial, and resurrection to the assurance and the hope of eternity. And surely they have it. Surely they have it. You don't need to negate anything by taking your own life. But what I want you to see is, if it can give you that much hope, if it can give you that much hope that you will take your own life, or that you will find comfort in the midst of horrible things, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then people, let it change your everyday life. Because it will. If it'll give you such confidence that no matter how I die, when I die, I will be with Him. What I want us to see this morning is what it can do for us every day, right now. And just jump into it while I still got your attention before your ears get tired on me. See that last phrase dealing with in reference to Christ, that down at the bottom four, explanatory, the death, we're talking about now to, advance the thought, then knowing, and then under knowing, it says, for, explaining, the death he died to sin once and for all, but that the life he lives to God. So also, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. People, let me just jump to the bottom line. You're experiencing stress and depression in your life. Know this. I'm living in reference to the earth. I'm living in reference to things of the earth, values of the earth, opinion of others on the earth, performance of the earth, what I have and don't have, the love I don't have that I want for my parents, for my husband, my wife, my children, somebody, accomplishments I'm not or I am making but it isn't working out. Just in your soul. See, there are indicators that let us know when we're not in the power of the Spirit. We've been seeing this with spiritual love. Is what's coming out of my mouth, are those the words of spiritual love, or am I in the flesh? Nobody needs to tell me when I'm in the flesh. All you have to do is listen to yourself. Is what I'm saying if what I'm doing is a tear flying across my living room in anger, is that spiritual love? Is that the fruit of the Spirit? Nobody needs to tell you. All you have to do is listen to yourself. We'll study that in the stress study, how to listen to yourself. Nobody needs to tell you. Well, I'm going to tell you something, people, and there are going to be so many people that disagree. I'm sorry. I'm not here to debate. When you start experiencing stress and anxiety and depression in your life, I can tell you something. I can tell you where you're living. What's important. So important that it's affecting your soul and your body. Now let's go back and see how this is put together for us in this great passage. Let's just go back now and look at it. We'll start our study and our reading. It all starts in verse 3. All starts in verse 3, so that's where we'll start in the reading. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into His death? Now, verse 4. Therefore, what follows is based on verse 3. All I'm going to do this morning is work through this with you very quickly, but in the grammar. Therefore, since you have been buried with Him, what follows is based on verse 3 that we are identified with Christ in His death and burial. We have been buried with Him. Through, how did that happen? I wasn't, did we go like, Nicodemus did with Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ said, you must be born again. Nicodemus being sarcastic said, well, can I enter into my mother's womb again? He's been sarcastic. Smart aleck. Christ didn't react to that. So he just said, no, I'm going to tell you what I mean. So it doesn't mean, well, I wasn't buried. Nobody came home and threw dirt on me yet. So, that's not what's going on. How this happened? It happened spiritually. Through baptism. Baptist, this doesn't mean water baptism. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you see the word baptism, there's more than just water in the Bible. And baptism is the ideal of being identified with or sharing with. Okay. We have been buried with Him through baptism into death. Now, look at what it says. In order that purpose of being identified with His death, as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father. Okay, what does that mean? Jesus Christ was dead and now raised up by the power of God the Holy Spirit. So, we too. That is, we also, having died with Him and buried with Him, have been raised up in order that what? Look what it says. We might walk in the newness of life. And here's where we begin an understanding of a life dealing with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and why we do not need to experience stress and depression in our life. People, those are part of the old nature. Those are things of the old life. The newness of life is totally new. And it is possible to live your life without stress, anxiety, and depression. It's possible. But you have to live by faith in the power of the Spirit in this new man that He functions through. And then these things start drifting away. I had a lady, husband-wife team, but a lady especially in another state, almost a year now, has been making this journey and called just recently and was describing, and I just love the way she worded it. Because she said, I can see, they had several children, and she said, I can see what's already happened in my life. And I'm just amazed. Because I'm doing nothing for this. I'm just, you know, walking by the Spirit and all. And she worded very funny. She says, I'm not going to reach the point where I just don't care about anything. Because she said, it just, the stress about money, about things, about just people, marriage, children, family, is just being able to, there's no stress and depression related to it. And I had to laugh, and I said, well, I hope we can all get there. But this is the life that we can have. Might walk in the newness of life. Stress, anxiety, and depression, these things are related to our flesh nature, people that has been buried with Him, died and buried with Him. For the old flesh nature, called the old self, is subject to stress, is subject to depression, Because it has to be in control. The old flesh nature always has to control husband, control wife, control circumstances. It always has to be in control. Because it senses its own weakness. It senses its own how sensitive and how weak and how fragile it really is. It senses its own immortality, its own weakness, death. So it's just got to be in control of everything to be in happiness. And the more that happens, the more stress, the more anxiety, the more depression. The more the flesh nature has a plan, the more the flesh nature has a goal, an objective, and it's got to be reached, and this has to happen, you just increase the scale of the stress margin in your life and depression, controlling everybody. I've got a wonderful plan, but nobody's going to get with it. So just the heck with all of you. If you don't want to do what I want to do, then you're out of here. I'm gone. Just leave me out. I don't even want to hear about it. Because I had a plan. Because the day we have a plan, we increase the stress. That's why we began the whole study dealing with, in Colossians, setting yourself, your mindset, as a man thinketh he is, and the things that are eternal. And there are so many things that we allow in our marriages, in our relationships, to get in the way of enjoying that marriage and that relationship that day, to bring about stress, depression, that are not important at all in the eternal scope of things. But we just cannot live in the realm of the resurrection. Let's move on. Verse 5. 4. What is that? That's an explanatory particle. It explains why what has been said is true about walking in the newness of life. If. Now, in Greek, that's a first-class condition. It's true, so let's translate it since. That way you'll see what's going on here. Verse 5. For since we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, that is not something that is known experientially, people. When you first believe in Jesus Christ, these things are not things that you know. This is one of the great evils of lordship salvation. Oh boy, the moment that you're saved, it's just the whole thing changes and all of this is a reality and all of, and people become very stressed out and, well, I must not be saved and on and on and on. No, you do not know this experientially in your life, immediately. Just the truth of what happened. I guess a kind of fumbling way to demonstrate this, an infant baby is not aware of its birth and be able to analyze it and talk about it. It just knows that it's alive and it's hungry. Where's mama's breast? Because it doesn't even know that's what it is, just where's food. So when you first accept Christ as Savior, this is what happened to you. This is what happened to you. But what we want to do is have it become an experiential reality in your life. This isn't going to happen overnight. This isn't going to happen. Since we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, have become, notice that, since we have become, very quickly, this verb is what we call the perfect tense. Why am I even emphasizing that on Easter morning? It puts emphasis on the present result of a past action. In the past, you have been identified with Christ in his death. Now, so what? That's why I get aggravated at Christians who want to talk about the cross and yet judge and malign and slander one another, hurt one another, malign one another, separate from one another, live by the law, live by Satan's lie, live by performance. It has no impact in their life now. The whole lordship salvation is law, living by law. It has no impact. Did I want the resurrection of Christ to have an impact in your life this very Sunday afternoon? Not when you die. Not when you're standing at a grave of someone you love and you, oh well, I know the blessed hope of the resurrection is coming and I will be raised with them and when the day the whole church is resurrected and we'll be united. I'm not talking about that. I mean, there's this passage. I'm talking about your life right now today. The impact of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ in your life have become. Now, so what? What's the difference? What difference does it make experientially in your life? Since we have become united with him, have become in the past. What's the present result of that? Certainly, if you could translate that logically, spiritually logically, we shall be future also in the likeness of His resurrection. And this is not talking about eternity future. It's talking about your life. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and our relationship with Him should be the basis, people, of how you live now. The Easter story is about how we live today. It's about stress in your marriage. It's about anxiety, depression over the circumstances of your life. You say you believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Do you? I'm not saying does it give you hope about your death later. I'm asking you, does it give you hope about right now? A hope that will remove stress from your life. He's in control. I'm going to live my life toward the newness, toward the things that are eternal. This is the Easter message. Verse 6. Knowing this, knowing the truth that is coming up now. And there's a lot we're studying about, noting about knowing. This is difficult for a lot of people to know. And I've come to realize that. It's difficult. People that have been abused as children. Abused, neglected. You're not good enough. You never perform well enough. Parents, you bring their children up that way. Got to earn love. You never can be quite good enough. Never can really arrive. People are calling them to know this. They have to work through a lot to come to the point where they can understand, I am loved of God. I am worthy of His love. I am worthy to serve. They carry so much from the home. Carry so much from life. Carry so much from the world. The flesh is fine. You have so much against you living who you are in Christ, people. You have so much against you living the resurrection. We have life. We have our home life. We have the flesh. Our own flesh is against us. You're not really... Well, the Bible says you're holy, and but you know better. You know you're no good. You know you sin. You have Satan's lie working against you. Society working against you. You've got other believers telling you no good. Job's own three closest friends. Trust his soul. Trust his soul. That's what we do to one another. So it's difficult for a lot of people. I didn't understand this. Well, just know it. Here it is. Here. Let me teach it to you. I'll break it down. I'll give you the synopsis of the verbs and the nouns, and we'll parse the verbs, climb the nouns, we'll put it all together, and you'll understand it, know it, and that's that. Come to realize a lot of people, they have to work through a lot to where they start accepting the fact of who they are in Christ and get out of stress, anxiety, and depression, get out of Satan's lie. Let me move on. Knowing this. Knowing what now? That our old self was crucified with Him. This is what I want to concentrate on this Easter. What happened with the demonstration of God's love at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? What happened to you? The old self was crucified. See that word, old self? Paul uses this in reference to our existence prior to faith in Jesus Christ. The old self is your existence prior to your existence of faith in Jesus Christ. Just slow down just a little bit here. What we're dealing with. This is what, this is from the day that you were born, that God imputed life in your soul, in the human flesh. So here we are, and you live your life in this flesh. And we've become very comfortable with it. We've learned all about our flesh nature. We've learned how to manipulate it. We've learned how to satisfy it. We've learned how to get our way with it. We've learned a lot. We feel very comfortable. Even if it's rotten, we still feel comfortable with it. It's dead. Dead. Its desires, all those things are dead. The word old, see that word old? What existed formerly? And what is in long standing? Here referring to what we formerly were from the physical birth to the point where we believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. The word means worn out, useless. That which is worn out, useless. Useless, fit to be scrapped, discarded. Like the Mosaic Law. It has no place. See the word self? That's the word anthropos, sometimes translated old man. It's just a generic name and distinction from God and animals. It is used to mark the distinction between the old self, whose nature is opposed to God, and now our new nature that is not in opposition with God. You desire to be set free from stress and depression in your life? It's right here. It starts here. Understanding what we're seeing here. Know that stress comes from living in the unreal world, living in who you are really or not. You're really not. When you and I experience stress in our life, we've moved over here into the unreal realm of existence. This isn't who you are. Who you are is in Christ. Who you are is over here, set free. But we choose to go back over here in this realm. The old self, the old man, the old being is a good description, for it relates us back to another, to a common humanness that is now worn out, stressed out by all of the things that happen, by law, by people, by things that we've allowed to happen in Satan's lie. The old self tells us something else, and this is very important. I will just say it and move on. It also tells you something very important. God doesn't try to make you a better person. God doesn't take that old flesh nature that you and I had and said, okay, I'm going to clean it up and make it good. No. If we've seen five things about it. It is continually being corrupted. It is full of deceit. It is incurably wounded. It is full of evil. And the one I love, it's insane. You ever wonder why you do insane things? I know better than this. This is stupid. It's insane. Why would that person do that? That's insane. That's our flesh nature. I'm just surprised they don't do more. But we've learned to control different aspects in the flesh, and are proud of that. God doesn't try to make you a better person. God doesn't say, I'm gonna give you a triple bypass. He just gives you a whole complete heart transplant, a new heart that He creates. If you and I will live in that, then we will be set free. Verse 7. It's through verse 6, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, with the result that our body of sin might be done away with. What is done away with? Destroy, people, it's dead. Inoperative. In order that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, understand the word sin here means the sin-producing nature. It's not like personal sins, it's that sin-producing nature. We've got to have things here about sin. Don't think about isolated sins of stealing or some sexual sin or some verbal sin. Think in the concept of sin as not in the plan of God. Not doing what God would have you to do. I don't care what it is. Don't get all caught up in the vocabulary of sin. When you get all caught up in the vocabulary of sin, you're in the unreal world again. There are two realms of existence that we can live in. We can live over here in this triangle. This triangle is the sin triangle. And if you live here, this is where preachers and Christians live. Your whole vocabulary deals with justice of God, law, and work, or performance, or doing for God. This is the realm of your existence. This is your whole vocabulary. I got to work hard. I sin. Justice of God is going to get me. I got to go to the law, control, perform, others' opinion of me. You want to know why you're stressed out? Oh, you can live over here. This is not real. This is not who you are. Yes, this is where Christians choose to live. Over here is where you and I are. We're in the cross triangle. Death, burial, and resurrection. Here, what's the vocabulary and the environment? The God's love, grace, undeserved yet given, and faith. This is where you find that you are worthy of His love. You are worthy to be loved. No, 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 you're no good. You're a sinner. You're this, you're that. No! Because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you are worthy to be loved of God. You are worthy to serve Him. This is your vocabulary. This is the real world for the Christian, because that's who you are. Let me just jump. I wanted to be at the end, but I'm running out of time. But let me just jump. Then how do we get back and forth to the sin nature, or this flesh nature, this old nature? People, there's a resurrection that occurs all the time in your life. There's a resurrection, to use an Easter word, biblical word. You resurrect that old nature. Every time you decide you want to sin, you want to be in control, you want this, you want that, you bring it back to life. Then when you decide, no, I want to be in the new man, you go to faith in the Spirit, boom, you're resurrected into the new life. Resurrection, to kind of be funny about it, it happens all day long in your life, death and resurrection. If I can be crass about it, so that I can communicate, It's like someone divorced. And we'll do the woman because we are the woman, we're the responder, we're the bride of Christ concept. So the woman gets a divorce. And what happens? The old ex always comes around. He's always coming around. Now, he doesn't want her. What he wants is to put down her new husband. What he wants to do is show that new husband, you're not so great. I can get her anytime I want her. Anytime I want her, I can get her. And he knows how to push the right button. And so that former husband comes along, gets her in bed, has sex with her. Oh boy, look what I've done. I've won. I put down her new husband, the new husband being Jesus Christ to us. So how do we do this? We just keep going back to that former husband every time. And what is that going to bring? Stress, depression, anxiety. All the reasons you divorced him. All the reasons you let the bum go. You go back and get in bed with him and you're lying up. Now I remember why I left this bum. I got the stress. I got the depression, the anxiety. It's all here. What am I doing here? Jump up and go to the new one. And what happens when you go back to the new husband? Ladies, we'll just fantasize here. He's wonderful. He makes you feel good, and all the stress and all the depression's gone. You're where you belong. And then what happens? You go along a little way, well, boom, you're right back over here, and there's the stress and anxiety again. So the most base way I can get it, when stress, anxiety, and depression enter your soul, guess whose bed you're in? Guess where you are? I don't want to be here. I want to be back over here. With the second husband. I want to be back over here with Christ. End of the first, in the passage, in Christ. I want to be who I am in Him. Because when I am there, stress, anxiety, and depression are gone. I left this dirt because I got stress with him. And I got depression. Why do I keep going back? That's our flesh nature. So when we experience it, we know what's happening in our life. We've in effect, resurrected our former husband. We've just resurrected, bring him back. We go back over here, we resurrect the new one. Get back to life with the new husband. Say verse 7, very quickly. Verse 7, for he who has died, now it's reference to Christ and to you. For he who has died, he is dead. That refers to our old self. Your old self is dead, now died. There is tense, a point of time, faith in Christ. Is freed from sin, from that sin nature, from that sin desire. Why? For he who has died, that's you and I, the aorist participle precedes the action of the main verb, being free. People, you're free. Isn't that a beautiful word? You're liberated. You're free. Free. Free from what? Well, many things. But for our study, let's just note these. If you're taking notes, let me just go through these quickly. One, the source of stress, anxiety, and depression, or sad, is that old nature, that old self, the flesh being. That's the source. Two, but the old nature is dead. It died when you believed in Christ the Savior. Three, you're now free. You're now free from that old nature, that old self. You're free of the stress and the anxiety and the depression. You're actually free of it. To be cross again, just talking to the woman, he goes, okay, you're not free of this guy. This guy has nothing to do with you anymore. You have nothing to do with him anymore. Yes, I know he caused you pain. I know he caused you hurt. I know he abused you and mistreated you. I know he caused your life to be depressed all the time. But you're free of him. Really a wonderful thought. You're totally free. Four, Christ has set you free. And we add to that, 2 Corinthians, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. If we take those two verses together, Christ has set you free. That's your position. If you want to live in that life of freedom and liberty, you live in the power of the Spirit by faith. Five, so why am I so stressed out today? Why am I so depressed? If everything you're saying is true, then why in the name of you know what am I stressed and depressed and have anxiety in my life? Why stress, anxiety, and depression in my life? Point six. Because you've resurrected your old nature. You've resurrected your old nature. Every day, all day long, there's death and resurrection in our life. You're walking in the Spirit, experiencing. You're experiencing the freedom, liberty. After you do this a while, you start walking in this. You start being transformed. Stress, anxiety, and depression go into the shadows. And then all of a sudden, boom, here it is again. Why is that? Because you've gone back to that first husband. You've resurrected the dead. People, your old nature's dead. You can resurrect it. You can go over there and perform a seance and resurrect the old nature. Come alive. Come alive, old nature. And boy, it's ready. It's right there. It's ready to come alive. And then a few minutes later, whatever time frame, man, I am so stressed out. I'm depressed. This is going on. This person can get to me. This person can do that. They could hurt me. It's all their fault and all this stuff of blame and everything. No. You just resurrected it. Now I remember why I left him. Now I remember why I got out of there. What the heck am I doing here? I went out of here. But we keep going back. What we want to do is over our life, get that going back less and less. Make it through a whole hour without going back. Just a whole hour. God, I hope before every Christian dies, before leaving earth, they're able to walk 1 hour in the power of the Spirit and experience no stress, no depression, no anxiety by the power of the Spirit. Experience the death of their old self and the resurrection of who they are in Christ. That happiness, contentment, peace. Those are all words of the fruit of the Spirit, but they become a reality if we contrast it with the stress, anxiety, and depression, things that go on in my life. The old self, while it is the old self, people, it just hurts you. You would think that a husband would love his wife and want to make her life comfortable and want to do for her, don't say amen, ladies, want to do for her and want to do all that he can from morning to night and just make her life over. Why is he so cruel? Why does he say the things he does? Why does he act the way he does? Why is he always biting and controlling and devouring and putting me down and doing all of these things? My God, doesn't he know I love him? Why is he doing this? That's what our flesh nature does. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. You're not worthy. Work harder. Work harder. Do more. Do more. Perform. Perform. Others' opinion. And you wonder where stress comes from? But if we stay in that new man, stay in the power of the Spirit, living who we are in Christ, and guess what? Getting in that realm, abiding in his love. That's where we want to get. Abiding in his love. Point seven, so you start out walking by faith in the Spirit, pow, you resurrect the dead, and now stress in your life. You go back to the power of the Spirit by faith, pow, you're liberated. It's that simple. Verse 8, we'll just read the closing. Romans 6, verse 8. Now, to advance the thought, if, and this again is first-class condition, so let's translate it since. Now, since we have died with Christ, we believe, this is how we know these truths, by faith, not experientially, for quite a while in our life, that we shall also live with him, now and forever. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is the story, which is important to our daily life, is never to die again. Death no longer is master or lord over him. For the death that he, Jesus Christ, died, he died in reference to sin. Again, not sins like we do every day, but the production of the sins. In other words, that old nature that produces these sins. And this is once and for all. But the life he lived to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to that sin-producing nature, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Consider yourself this, because this is who you are, people. Again, let me use a base example, human example. Woman married. She divorces. Okay, what do? You identified in that marriage. And the man was too, but we're talking about the lady right now. You identified with that man, that home, structure, good as it was, bad as it was. But now you marry someone else, so everything's changed now. Unless you make the mistake of marrying the same type of person. No. But when, in spirit speaking, now we're in relationship with Christ, the new person that we are in Christ. So it's a whole new environment. Vocabulary changes. Over here, the vocabulary was, you're not good enough, you got to work harder, you don't look good, this needs to be done, you'll never be this, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do that, and on and on and on, abuse, control, everything that goes on. That's all over. That's not your vocabulary anymore. Loser, no good, all that's no longer vocabulary. Now you're in a whole new vocabulary. Your vocabulary that's used in the home. It's the vocabulary used in the home. Changes. And now it's love, grace, faith, joy, peace, contentment, all the things we have in Christ. So that the very vocabulary of the environment, no stress, stress is no longer related over here. Because there is no stress in relationship. Note what that last line of our study says now. But alive to God in Christ Jesus. People, that's where you want to live. And that you're not performing on earth and things aren't working out on earth, and you get stressed out about it, that's not being alive as who you are in Christ Jesus. That's not living in the realm of those things that are eternal, things that last forever. Stress, anxiety, and depression are things related to this earth. All you have to think about it is the more you care about things on earth, people, the more they become stressful to you. The more you care, the more you have a plan, the more you want things to go your way. I use silly examples very quickly. You're driving down, it's a Sunday afternoon, and you're not in a hurry to go anywhere, and somebody cuts in front of you, and you can wave them off. Come on, get over here. That's all right. Now, tomorrow morning, I've got a plan. Tomorrow morning, I've got a schedule. Somebody even thinks about cutting in front of you, and they'll pay for it, one way or the other. Now, they don't pay, you do, but you know what I mean. Because you got a plan. You got to control people. Well, I got a plan. I got a schedule. But to the degree you don't, go ahead, do what you want. So many people think that I'll never get well, I'll never get through stress and depression as long as my husband the way he is and my wife the way she is. People, what you're saying is, oh, well, God, before God can ever work with you, he's got to clean up the world. No, that's not God. God's bigger than that, people. Your experiencing who you are in Christ has nothing to do with those around you. You can actually live a life free of stress, anxiety, and depression in the same environment where yesterday it existed without that other person changing at all. And I'll add a footnote, the wrong kind of encouragement to some of you, but boy, when they cannot cause you stress and depression anymore, that's really going to make them mad. That's really going to set them off. Because that's how they control you. That's how they control you. Remember, anybody that can make you mad, they're the ones that control you. Anybody who can cause you to be stressed, they control you. Anybody who can cause anxiety and depression in your life, they control you. You take away that control from them, and they really get mad. Because now they have no way of controlling you anymore. At work, there are bosses who love to keep people right tense, stressed out. That's how they control. You start walking in the spirit, that's fine. They get very angry at that because they no longer control you. You're married, social life, church. Preachers love to control. Preachers have got to control their congregations to give, to do, to this, that. Once you start walking in the spirit, find that liberation that we have in the spirit. Stress, anxiety, and depression are gone. So I hope that you understand and begin to see how the Easter story, it's really about your everyday life. It's not just about your salvation. That's done. And it's not about that wonderful day of resurrection. That's wonderful. When I do a funeral, I'll do that. When I think of people dying and friends that I and my family friends, I'm going to be with them forever. That's wonderful. The people, the heart of what we saw this morning is, it's about today. It's about in my home, my marriage, my work. It's about driving on the freeway. It's about every area of my life. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a reality. It can be a reality. This is how we ought to live. Knowing what He is. And I hope in a very short time we've been able to look at that. And that's why we have the communion. The communion that God gave us, that Christ gave us, is just to remember all of these things. So I'm going to ask the gentleman that will serve to come forward, please. Easter is a wonderful time to have communion, to bring into focus, remember these things that we're studying, and the only ritual that Christ really gave the church, the communion. So we will look at the communion, and usually we take the whole service for a study of it. We didn't do that this morning, but in a way we did. But this morning we will just summarize and pull it together. If you're here this morning and have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, we invite you to join us. The communion is for the body of Christ, everyone that is saved. There's no such thing as closed communion in the Scriptures. It's for those that are in the body of Christ. So we invite all of you to join with us together. It is our custom. Does it make it right? Does it make it wrong? Every church will have its own custom. I get so amused by people, it's got to be done just this way. No, each church has its tradition, its customs, and it doesn't mean one's right, one's wrong. Ours is that everyone hold a cup till everyone has been served, or the bread till everyone has been served, and then we will partake together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a wonderful morning to celebrate the communion, the Eucharist. The morning, Heavenly Father, of reflecting on what the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ means, and how we were died with Him and buried with Him, and we are raised to the newness of life. We praise You, Father, in Your Son's precious name. Amen. Interesting in regard to some things we're going to be looking at in our study of stress, anxiety, and depression, things we're going to be looking at. And one of the things that causes a great deal of stress and depression, and is one of the common things in a great number, one of the three common things, if not four, in all the suicides and great depression that take people to that, one of them deals with alienation. And we'll talk about that later, the impact of it. Being alienated from the love of one's mother or father that they desire and never are good enough to get, never good enough to receive, or maybe a spouse, friend, someone, member of the opposite sex, same sex, whatever, and being alienated. And thinking about that in reference to what Jesus Christ is doing at the communion, the Lord's table. Remember, the context was He just told them, I'm leaving you and you cannot come. And there would be a great heaviness that would come over the disciples that I began to understand. It's difficult for us because we weren't there. We've never walked with the Lord, physically. And we never looked at His eyes and His face and His hands and watched Him do things, and they did. And now He's going to leave. He's going to leave them. And that alienation that so many people experience living alone in the world, in America, and what happens when we alienate, either are alienated or we alienate ourselves. And it's a great heaviness to the soul. That's a reality. It's denied by people. It's a reality. The disciples, they didn't deny it. They were very much in turmoil and expressed it too, in fear, worry. What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to us? And the tenderness of Christ and the sensitivity of Christ and His love, really I could say the sensitivity of God's love, noting this, was first of all to comfort in that loss. In other words, it meant going away. And so he took the bread, and he used bread, because bread gives substance to the stomach and stables the soul, and stables the stomach, and that sends the soul. And giving that bread, he said to them, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's take it. And what he was saying was that I have come and have died for you. Now, we know what happened. We died with him. We rose with him, or buried with him, our old nature was, and then we were raised with him. But the bread primarily is just that aspect of it, that I've come and I have died in this place. So we die in that sense with him in that respect. But I've got to go on. That's okay. That's comforting about the death. And that's good for my soul. But tomorrow when I wake up, I'm still there in that state without you. So what's going to happen? And so that's what the cup is about. And we'll talk about that in a moment. And our custom is that everyone hold a cup until all have been served, and then we will celebrate together. But Jesus Christ being dead, and understanding the very nature of our being, he said, "But I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you deserted. I'm not going to leave you alienated. I'm going to send to you another helper just like me. I'm going to send to you the Spirit. And just as you trusted me, just as you followed me, just as I guided you, he will do that. So you trust him just like you trusted me, so that we were not left alone and not alienated. So we have now the encouragement. We have the comradeship, if you please, the rest of our life. And living each day, we're not deserted. We're going to look at passages that I've studied for so long, but in a different context. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'll always be there in our relationship with who and what he is." And that's what we have going on with the cup, encouragement that he has not left us, but that he is, through the Spirit, present in us. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." I hope as you leave that you think about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, starts having a different impact in your soul, some of you, different connotation in dealing with stress, depression, hurt. We're studying the seven-headed dragon of the soul, not of the Bible, but of the soul, anger, fear, hate, worry. These things start, bitterness start coming in. You go back in the resurrection, the death, burial, all three, death, burial, and resurrection start having an impact in your life, that you begin to realize where we are, where you're living, that you're experiencing that stress, you're experiencing those things, and that the whole Easter story is why you do not and we do not need to experience it, no matter what's going on in our life. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our flesh nature, Satan's lie, the law, and other things, all working against us being who we are in Christ. All working, Heavenly Father, to keep us in control of the world, controlled by the world. To experience, Heavenly Father, the heaviness of the world, the demands, and therefore the stress, the depression. How grateful we are, Heavenly Father, that you have sent to us your Son as a demonstration, a vivid demonstration of why we do not need to have stress in our soul. What really is true about us? What really is true, not just in eternity, but each day of our lives. And you've demonstrated it so clearly for us, Father. Pray that your Spirit will make the things that we saw this morning become a reality in our lives this very day. We pray these things, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen. Happy Easter.